One of the greatest things that you could do as a salesperson is set the expectations for your buyer when something goes right, when something goes wrong, or when they're going to need help. This way, they don't have to make it up in their head, and you don't have to deal with fairy tale solutions that really can't be delivered.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha from Sacramento, California. I'm coming to you live from my office today, and I figured we would talk about setting boundaries in sales before, after, and during the call. And, you know, when I ride with salespeople, there are okay salespeople, there's good salespeople, and there's exceptional salespeople. And one of the traits that I picked up on is the exceptional salesperson will set the expectations for what the buyer is going to go through. And there's a couple of reasons why this really has to be done. And I've made some notes that would really help you out to distinguish what you could put in place. And, you know, you could modify accordingly. This is my list. It's not the only list, but it is a way for you to reduce problems after a sale is made. And, you know, when it comes down to it, most salespeople get excited about the deal, the paperwork signed. So the salesperson sends out information for an e-signature and it's party on. But there's a couple of problems. You know, first and foremost, what if that buyer got a bunch of bids? What if that buyer talked to quite a few people and they can't really remember everything that's going to take place from your product versus the other guys or the other girls? And they have a belief of what something is going to happen and it can't live up to it. Now, there's a couple of other problems. If a sales presentation is overly hypey and oversold, then that buyer is going to believe what they heard in a presentation. And sometimes I have seen salespeople go over the top to try to close a deal, only to find that they end up losing because they went too far in explaining what the limitations of the product were, what it could and couldn't do, so that they could close a deal. And sometimes this happens because of marketing. Marketing pieces sometimes will oversell an idea of a product or a service, a widget or a gizmo, and the buyer is expecting one thing, and at the end of the day, after delivery, after installation, after drop-off, whatever way the person gets the product, they're not getting what was defined to them. Most salespeople celebrate too soon. I mean, there should be conversations during the presentation, during the paperwork, after the paperwork, that really do set the stage for what's going on. Now, where you're going to put these is up to you. You can insert them pretty much anywhere that you like. You know, I'm a big fan of a sales presentation, of setting expectations early on and then reinforcing them at the end. That way somebody could say, oh, I didn't know, or makes it tough for them to say that. So the first thing on this list is one, let them know what to expect from the product or service. And if there's limitations, let them know that early on and up front. You know, every product line has great capabilities, and then there's probably some weakness. And if there is a weakness, you've got to be able to be up front and say, hey, we've got a great product, widget, or gizmo that does X, Y, and Z, but where it falls down is on option here, number one. But besides that, everything else is good. And you're going to have to wordsmith this. This isn't the way that I would explain it to the buyer. You know, you're going to have to figure out your own word track to make that happen. When you're sitting down with a buyer, sometimes once the process is done and something is sold, it's good to leave paperwork behind or sent with delivery. Depending upon your industry, depending upon legalities, you know, sometimes companies will say, well, we gotta send everything through our legal department. Sometimes this means that you got to be the person who puts things together. And, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes the other salespeople get to use it too. But, you know, it puts you ahead of the pack. Because you could let people know, hey, I had a hand in designing this. I want to make sure that we're on the same page. I'm not giving you legal advice. If you got to put something through legal counsel, then go ahead and do it. Two, If there is a problem, let them know what to expect. How long are they going to have to wait? Who's going to fix it? Who do they get in charge of? What number do they call? What email address do they use? And I see this a lot with a lot of products in my own life, where when something goes sideways, there's no clear-cut path of here's what to expect, here's the phone number, here's the email. It's just like, you know, congratulations, you got your product, I got my commission, get out of the store. You know, sometimes it's a long buying process. Sometimes it takes longer than it should. When I was buying my last car, it took way longer than it should have, you know, and I was at the dealership till way late at night waiting for paperwork to get done because somebody was screwing around. And I don't remember everything that we talked about over that time period, but I do remember, the guy who helped me out with my car said, hey, if there's a problem, here's the number you call. Here's the valet service. Here is your Calvary, and this is how they can help you out. And it did help, because I did have a problem with my car. And I was like, oh, you know what? There's a phone number for me to call, and it's on the back of the paperwork. So it did help out. 3. Explain what abuses to the team, to the company, to the call center, to the email, to the floor, or whoever you work with, and that it won't be tolerated. You know, I could think back of an instance where when I was sales manager, there was a very difficult particular homeowner, and he scared away the installers. I mean, the guy, because of the way that he acted, it literally doubled the time of the sales job. It doubled the time of the install because he was over the guy's back screaming and yelling at him, telling him how to do their job the whole entire time. And, you know, this particular guy was an engineer and difficult to deal with, and even difficult for me to deal with. And the salesperson, if he would have set the expectations the right way, would have lessened some of this. This guy was going to be difficult no matter what. I'm not saying it would have fixed the entire problem, but it does alleviate a lot of the issues it have. 4. Let them know how to reach you if that's appropriate. Sometimes once the sale is made, there's a handoff and you're not the person anymore. And so, you know, let them know, hey, look, once I'm done here, this is going to get handed off to the team and your contact person is going to be Bob or Mary. And this is how you get a hold of them. And these are the normal time frames to call them, to email them, to text them. And if there is an issue, this is how you escalate the situation. If it comes down to you, hey, look, I answer my phone between 8 and 5. I do check my phones on the weekends, and sometimes it could take 4 or 5 hours for me to get back to you. You know, I do check my emails, and sometimes I don't get a chance to check my emails for a day, or I only check my emails in the afternoon. You know, that buyer, when they're in a panic mode, may not remember all of this, and they may have some pretty crazy demands. You know, spending money is emotional. People buy on emotions and justify with logic, and that doesn't go away. That feeling and those emotions stay. Those emotions of the purchase, like I made a good decision, start to dwindle when there's a problem and nobody gets a hold of that person. You know, one of the things that you could do is have somebody else contact that buyer on your behalf and say, hey, the person you're trying to get a hold of, your sales guy, your sales girl, is in meetings. They're responsive to what's going on. They're going to email you, or I'm the point person at this point to help you out. What can I do to help you? But if you're not taking care of setting these expectations, they're making up the rules in their head. 5. If you meet or beat those standards, make sure that you're explaining that when you're having a conversation. Say, hey, look, we're at service level agreement. For some industries, they call it SLA. You know, we're at service level agreement for what is supposed to be done. Or normally the service level agreement says that we're going to call you within 48 hours. And look, we got it done within 7. So I just want to point out to you that we're right on top of what is supposed to be done. And, you know, sometimes buyers will be like, I don't want to hear that. You know, you just get your stuff done. And sometimes they're very appreciative. They're like, you know what? You're right. And when we sat down, we discussed that it was a 48-hour window or a 24-hour window, and that right now we're under it. It really depends upon your industry. But every time that I have sat down with a buyer and they've had an issue or they've had a problem, whether it was because of me or something else, I always point out, hey, look, I want to let you know, I answered my phone on a Saturday. Hey, look, I want to let you know, I told you that, you know, I usually make a phone call within 8 hours. I'm calling you back within 30 minutes. I don't always get a chance to do that, but I want to show you that I'm living up to my expectations. And sometimes you have to resell what you sold them in the sales presentation. Sometimes you have to have that conversation again with them. 6, if there is a problem, run towards it. I don't know how many times I've seen salespeople back off and not take care of a problem because they don't want to deal with a client. They don't want to deal with somebody who's upset. I will tell you from experience that the faster that you can help somebody out get a problem taken care of by making a phone call or making an email happen really does help. And like sometimes it can't happen. You're in meetings, sometimes you're with clients, sometimes there's an emergency, and that's why it's a really good deal to team up with another salesperson that can help you out, or hire a VA, or have somebody at the office who's on point for problems that go on. And like I said, it really depends upon your industry. It really depends upon how you work and what you do. I can't cover every contingency in this episode, but I can tell you that there are things that you can do that if there is a problem, if there is a struggle, that you're on the phone, that you're on the email, that you're making things happen as soon as possible. And this is important. You know, when somebody makes a purchase, they want to know that they're getting taken care of, and there's nothing worse than getting put off. And, you know, when I ran a team, the consumers and the clients that were taken care of early on, you know, it was fantastic when the sales guy or the sales rep would deliver what they were supposed to or answer the phone call or go back out and meet them. Where people got really upset is when they got put off and there was no follow through. Hey, we'll call you back. And then the callback never happened. Or, hey, we'll email you back and the email never happened. You know, people are setting an expectation in their head based upon what happened in the sales process and what's going on when they're in panic mode. So my friend Bob Beverly says that when you're angry, you lose half of your ability to compute information. When you're angry, you don't have the ability to, you know, think through what's going on. And remember, money is emotional. And so when people get upset about money, they're not always logical about what they're saying and what they're doing. They're not always easy to get along with. They're freaking out in their head because now they're going to be proved right by the jerk uncle or the jerk cousin or the jerk neighbor or the jerk coworker that said, you know, you shouldn't go with that company because they've got a lot of problems. You know, a lot of times decisions are made about companies, not because of all the things that they can deliver, but because of the criticisms of the people on the outside. And, you know, nobody inside of an office building wants to be the one that takes the hit because they made a bad decision. Nobody in a household wants to take a hit because they made a bad decision to go with a company. And, you know, a lot of times decision making extends further on than just the money at the table. Sometimes it extends further on than just the emotion. Sometimes it's, you know, who's going to judge me for making a bad decision is really what goes down. And you have to recognize that can create problems for somebody, that if a problem's not getting taken care of, it's not just the company, it's them. It's on them. It's on them for not making the right choice. By the way, that's something that you can reinforce in a sales presentation that most salespeople don't know, is like, look, I understand that you have to answer to somebody, and I understand that that person is worried that you're going to make the right decision or the wrong decision in some way when things go wrong. And here's what I've done, or here's what our company has done to alleviate that. And you're going to have to change the verbiage. You're going to have to put it into your own word track. I gave you the bird's eye view. There's no way for me to give you every different way to say it. Always explain what to expect next. So you're going to get a phone call. You're going to talk to a guy named Bob. You're going to get an email. Someone's going to come out and see you at noon. Whatever is going to happen, explain them what's going to happen next, and then make sure to go to those people and say, hey, look, this is on you. I've already explained it to the homeowner and the buyer, and there's nothing wrong with over-communicating in a team. So anytime that I would hand stuff off, this is what I would do. I would say, okay, I was dealing with the Smith job, and I'm all done with the Smith job, correct? I'm handing it off to you. And the other person would say yes, and I'd say, okay, so at this point, I'm out of it. This is all your baby from here. This is all you from here, correct? And they would say yes. And I'd say, great, I'm going to send you a quick email just reinforcing that, if you could just reply back. And what it really did for me is it stopped people saying, oh, well, you never told me that. Because now I've got an email and I've got a date sent. And like sometimes it's very frustrating that this has to happen inside of an office. But anytime that you could reinforce through an email or a text message and get some sort of response, and sometimes even from the buyer, it really does help you out. You know, and sometimes you got to be careful about what you send and how you send it. You know, there's not a 100% foolproof, perfect way to make this happen. 7, if they're abusing the team, you have to let them know. I was dealing with a doctor and we were working through situations and scenarios, And he was telling me about his call center, that there was a couple of people that were abusive to his call center staff. And I said, okay, so what's getting done about it? And he said, nothing, because they're scared to deal with it, and I don't know how to deal with it. So we came up with a solution, you know, and we role played it. And this is the rough version. Hey, look, you know, we're here to help you. We're more than willing to give help, but at this point, you're abusing the services, okay? I can't give you the whole script, but that's one way to explain it. So you take that chunky version that I just gave you and refine it and make it your own for your own industry. Have the tough conversation. Most people won't do this. They just take abuse. You know, there is a point where a client is abusing you. There is a point where it's not good and it is a problem. Hey, you may have to let a client go. You know, there's a point where you have, like, I'm at a breaking point. I can't do anything with you. I can't do anything for you. You're being unrealistic about what's going on. And we can have the whole conversation. There is a good thing. There is a thing called good customer service. And then there's also a point where you are being taken advantage of. There is a point where you're way past good customer service and you're just being abused.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.